Today I want to turn with you to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And I want us to think about washing feet. That's not always a pleasant thing if you got dirty feet or stinking feet. And I was thinking about this passage, John 13, that here we have the Son of God washing the dirty, stinking, probably ugly, disformed feet of the 12 disciples. And to me, this is one of the grandest pictures of the love of God that there is in the Bible. Of course, it points to the cross, and we'll be talking about that as well. Such a glorious, wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, washing feet. I had planned to demonstrate foot washing, and I told Brenda and Tony I chickened out. I dreamed about it all night long, different times. I'll ask Zach to come up, and I'll wash his feet. And then I thought of somebody else, and I thought, Randy, I'll wash his feet. He'll let me wash his feet. Randy's not here. He had to work today down in Prescott. And then I thought, well, Tony, he'd let me wash his feet, I bet. I tried to think of the ones that probably wouldn't want me to wash their feet. Men, probably, anyway. But anyway, I told Brenda and Tony, I just chickened out. I didn't bring my towel. I was going to pull my coat off. I'll tell you how I was going to do it, but I didn't do it. Maybe you'll probably say I should have anyway. I've seen preachers do that before, and it really comes across as a great message. But I had my basin and the water and the towel, and I was going to do like Jesus and wash the feet as a demonstration, because I think it is one of the most beautiful pictures in all the Bible. But let's read this passage. Look at John chapter 13, and unless something happens and I get inspired in the next 15 minutes, I won't be washing one of your feet, or two of your feet, or whatever. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world and go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, Jesus rose up from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do you don't really know now, but you're going to know afterwards. Peter said unto him, you'll never wash my feet. You can just hear Peter saying that. You ain't going to wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. Well, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, if it's that way, not only my feet, but my head and my hands as well. And Jesus said to him, he that is washed needs not except to wash his feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you're not all clean, not all 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken put his clothes back on, his garments, and was seated again, he said unto them, Do you know what I just did to y'all? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, because I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you this as an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, you'll be happy if you do them. I speak not of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. There's that story that is so important that it was placed in our Bible, a part of the inspired word of God. Now, Adam, I think we'll go back and start at verse 1 there, and I'll say some words about it as we go through. I wanted to read the story first. Tonight we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And so I thought, well, today we're going to have the foot washing part, because in the whole schedule of things, or the scheme of things, or the order of things, they'd gathered for the Passover. They had eaten the Passover, and that's when Jesus began to wash the feet of the disciples. And then after that, then Judas got up and left. And then they had the Lord's Supper, the first Last Supper, and we're going to do that tonight. So today is the foot washing story, the foot washing time. Notice verse 1. It was before the feast of the Passover, and Jesus knew that his time was come. He understood that he was going to die. He was going to the cross. He understood he was going to be betrayed. He was going to have to suffer for the sin of the whole world. But I love that verse 1. It says, he loved his own. Now, certainly God loves everybody. Jesus loves everybody. I believe that with all of my heart. But he had a special love for his own disciples. It's kind of like Craig and I. We love all you ladies, but we don't love you all near as much as we do our wives. In other words, we love everybody, but we have a special love and relationship for our wife. Well, that's the way it was with Jesus and his disciples. I mean, he loved them. As a matter of fact, one translation says he was absolutely crazy about those 12 guys. I like that. That's Southwest Arkansas or Florida lingo there. Absolutely crazy about them. He was. He loved all of them, all 12 of them. He had called all of them, and they had followed him. And it says he loved them more than anything else. He loved them, and he loved them unto the end. In verse 2, it says that after the supper there, the devil, boy, the old devil's always involved in things. He put it in the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. Now, Jesus had called, Judas had followed. He loved Judas too. I think he loved Judas just like he did Peter and James and John and all the others. You say, well, yeah, but he knew he was going to betray him. Yeah, he did, but that didn't cancel out his love for this one. And you see in this story, actually, he goes around and washes all the disciples' feet. He goes to Peter, James and John, and if you could name all 12. And finally, he even gets down to Judas. And there he knows Judas is going to betray him. He knows what all is going to take place. And yet he's there washing that sucker's feet. Yeah, he is washing the feet of Judas. He loves him too. He knows Judas is a part of the plan of God and all of that, but he washes his feet, no doubt, along with the others. And finally, in verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. You see, Jesus washes the feet from a position of majesty. Jesus knows who he is, knows where he came from, and he knows where he's going. Not from a place of weakness, but from a place of strength. He decides to take his outer garment off and take a rag and wash the feet of his disciples. From the position of majesty and holiness as the Son of the living God. We've been studying Philippians on Wednesday night, and it says that he took upon himself, he humbled himself. And this is what this story is all about. If you are a Christian, but you're not a humble person, you're outside the will of God. If I am a preacher, which I sort of am, some people say more so than others, I guess. If I'm not a humble preacher, I'm out of the will of God. Humility is the greatest attribute of all and the mark of a believer in Christ, humility. And we're following the example of Jesus. He gave us the example of humility. Service is so very important. I see some of you all around here all the time, and you all serve the Lord. You serve in teaching classes, and you serve in doing all kinds of things. I hated Randy wasn't here today. Old Randy, he's just taking the heart, hadn't he? And not to say more about him than any of you, but y'all see how much he does around here. I mean, just voluntarily. The other day he called and he sent me a picture on my phone. He said, "See, I painted all the stripes on the parking lot." Nobody told him to do it. Nobody said, "Randy, why don't you do it?" Nobody. He just saw and came over here and painted all the yellow stripes. And I said, "Why'd you do that, Randy?" He said, "Because I wanted it to look nice for the 15th of October when we have our anniversary." Now that's the kind of service, and I'll just brag, you can tell him I told him later. That's the kind of service, and I see it not only in him, but I see it in you and you, and I could point and use examples of you all too. I came up this morning and I saw the flag waving by the corner of the building. Did you all see that? Well, somebody worked and put that thing up out there. But I see all the work and the service that you do. That is Christian humility. It depends upon why you do it, of course. Only Randy knows why he put the stripes out there. If he did it out of some kind of pride and arrogance and to get attention and for somebody to brag and that kind of thing, then it just washed down the drain. Because the whole idea is service must be done from the heart. And that's all important. Whatever you do, do it humbly from the heart. Some conclusions I look at. Being a servant is an attitude, not an action. It comes from the heart. Servants come in all sizes and all colors, all shapes. Most of us and most of the people within the congregations are common, ordinary folks just like us. Anyone can be a servant if they have a servant's heart. I see some of you all visiting the sick. I see some of you all doing all kinds of things for those in need. Very important. You don't do it to bring glory to yourself. You don't do it to make yourself look good. I see I'm always looking at myself and thinking, I'm enjoying standing up here preaching. I love to do it so very much. It does feel good when you all brag and say something good. It hurts when you say something bad that it wasn't very good. I realize that. And then when I get my feelings hurt about that, I think, well, why was I doing it in the first place? I'm supposed to be doing this not for applause or for someone to congratulate. I'm to do it from the heart. That's how Jesus judges us. And as a matter of fact, when I preach the sermon on the judgment seat of Christ, we will all as Christians stand one day before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and he will judge our works as believers. And it will be judged on the basis of, were we humble? Were we doing it for his sake and not for earthly gain nor reward? Very important in our service to the Father. Some people find it easy to be a servant. Some people find it hard to be a servant. And sometimes people say to me, Brother Dave, I just find it so hard to go out and help these needy people and do all of these kinds of things. And then you say, maybe I don't have the gift of service. Well, we know in the Bible there is such a thing as a gift of service. You could read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 7, there is a spiritual gift of service. But if you say, I'm not going to serve because I don't have the gift, then read Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Galatians 5:13 says, whether you have the gift or not, you're supposed to serve. You don't have to have the gift to do it. You just serve. And if it's hard, do it anyway. And some of you all do. And I see you doing it. The greatest example is Jesus. What about this foot washing deal? Now, some churches, some denominations say there are three ordinances. There's baptism, and there's the Lord's Supper, and there's foot washing. And when you read this story, I can see why people would think that it might be on the same level as baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so throughout the last 2,000 years of church history, there have been some denominations who have felt that foot washing should be an ordinance of the church like baptism and the Lord's Supper. Obviously, we don't, because we celebrate in our 100th anniversary. Is it this Sunday and next Sunday, and the next Sunday's it? Well, for 100 years we've been here. Now, some of y'all that's been here 100 years, tell me, have y'all ever had a foot washing here? Hey, if I'd have done it this morning, we'd have the first one. I bet Chester would have come up here. I could have washed his old stinky feet. I should have gone ahead, Brenda and Tony, and done it, I guess. So it'd be the first time. I like to do first time things, you know. Kind of like the first time in one of my churches ever baptized a black person. I was so thrilled. Some of the folks wasn't very thrilled, but it just thrilled my heart. I thought, all these many years, and this is the first time, it's time. And it was, I'll tell you. We brought them in by the droves down in Texarkana on those buses. But it thrilled my heart the first time that I took some of those black kids, some of those black adults, and baptized them. Some members left. Some of them got real upset. Some of them didn't like it. They wouldn't like it now. But I felt like that's God's will, and it's time it was done. Amen. I don't know how many's been here, but if there had not been any, there's time it'd be done here. How'd I get off on that? I better watch out. I'll get shot. Get shot sure as the world. But anyway, what about this thing of foot washing? In those churches, and my wife had a relative over at Gurdon who would go from Gurdon to Donelson. That's a long way. Go through Arkadelphia, and they had a wagon, didn't have a car, and this great-grandmother, whatever, we have pictures of her in the wagon with her chickens, and they would go all the way to that I guess it was a hard shell Baptist church where they had foot washings. And she loved that, and she was a part of that. And to make that long trip in a wagon pulled by horses so she could get in on the foot washing. But some of those churches, even now, they do it. And some do it. Some Catholics, Presbyterians, different groups sometimes do it on Holy Week, Thursday. Good Friday is Friday. But on Thursday night, when you have what they call Maundy Thursday, sometimes that's the time for the washing of feet. And I think I saw on the internet that the Pope just washed somebody's feet recently, and it got on the news, and there was the picture. In those denominations that practice foot washing, though, it's kind of interesting. If they know they're going to have it, and of course in most of those places, the women wash the women's feet, and the men wash the men's feet, which is a good thing. But they all say, well, we're going to have foot washing today. I'm going to make sure my feet are good and clean. So some of them probably go down to USA Nails or some of those places, you know, where the beauty shop is, and get their toenails painted and their feet washed and all of that sort of thing. That kind of goes against the whole idea, however. You don't try to dress up your feet because someone's going to wash them. The whole idea here with Jesus is they were the dirty feet of those disciples. Now, it was a custom in those days. I mean, this wasn't an unusual thing. If we lived over there, usually when you went into a home, there was a tub of water, a basin of water. And you would come in, and usually you'd wash your own feet. However, in some of the homes, they had servants. And slavery was so common in those days, and nearly every home had a servant. And so the host of the home usually didn't do it. This was slave labor. This was a slave's job. And that means this is even more important as we see Jesus. He's taking up on this place of a slave, the lowliest. Peter was so shocked. He was shocked because here is Jesus. And Peter had just said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he sees Jesus doing what a lowly slave would usually do. And he just is blown away by that. He cannot figure out how Jesus would be doing that. It was the work of a slave. No wealthy person would wash someone's feet. And the host of the home would not. They would have it done by someone more lowly. Washing is a dirty, smelly, humiliating business. But washing met a real need. You see, the picture here, getting too deep with you here, the picture is that the people had gone to the public bath. And they would have gone down there and they bathed, got washed up all over, real clean. And when they walked home, their feet got dirty. The rest of them didn't get dirty. It was clean already. But the feet got dirty. There were no paved roads. There, it was old dust and dirt. And the chickens were everywhere. And the chicken manure was everywhere. And as a matter of fact, the manure from the homes was thrown out in the streets and things. And so you just get a yucky view of what people had to walk through in those days. It's kind of like in some countries today, in some places, where it is just filthy to walk around. And they walked through the filth, and when they got to the house, they needed to be bathed all over again. They didn't need to wash head and foot and everything. They just needed a foot washing. And that was the whole idea, a cleansing of the feet. Well, Jesus is going to go to the cross, and he knows that. And Peter says to him, "Lord, you are not going to wash my feet." And Jesus said there in verse 8, if I don't wash your feet, you won't have any part with me. He was saying, you're not going to be one of my disciples unless I wash your feet. If I wash you not, you have no part of me. And that's when Peter said to Jesus, Lord, don't wash just my feet, but my hands and my head. One of the interesting things about this story is, if you go back and look in Matthew and Luke's account of it, you'll notice that while they were taking the Passover, that the disciples were discussing about who was the biggest, best, prettiest, strongest, who was going to be first in the kingdom of God. Go back and read, and you'll find out those 12 disciples, during the time of Passover here and the meal, they were gathered around talking about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And one of them said, it's going to be me. And another one said, no, it's going to be me. James said, it's going to be me. John said, no, it's going to be me. But one account says, James and John's mother even came and begged, said, Lord, take a liking to my boys. I want one of them to be on your right hand and one of them on your left hand when you get into your kingdom. And they were all wanting to be first. And that's when Jesus said to them, you guys have missed it. Everybody's wanting to be the head. Everybody's wanting to be the chief. I have first place. Get recognition. He says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And here it is that Jesus gives them this demonstration that is so clear, you couldn't miss it. He says, do like I do. So in verse 12, after he had washed their feet and sat down again, he said, do you all realize what I've just done? I have set you an example. Verse 15, I've given you an example. I want you to wash one another's feet. And you know, as we go from this place today out to our homes, our wherever we go through the week, whose feet are you thinking about washing? Got to wash somebody's out there. That's a part of being a disciple. Of course, some of you do that. Brother Don Jones's daughter-in-law had that bad wreck this week. Deanna, they live up there, Story, somewhere up there. He preaches. Anyway, she broke both of her arms, her hands. Somebody said, boy, somebody's going to have to take care of her hand and foot. Well, some of you all realize that because you're doing that for family members even now, aren't you? And we see you do it, and they appreciate you doing it, and you're doing it out of love. Some of you take care of folks so much. Whose feet are you going to wash? Well, this is a picture of Jesus and the cross. He said to the disciples, y'all don't understand what I'm doing, but you're going to understand later. Peter didn't, he didn't understand it all, but he did later. I love that song. What can wash away my sin? What? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I almost had to sing the invitation, Mike, about whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. You see, the washing of the body is salvation. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. But when you come to the washing the feet, that has to do with daily cleansing. You just have to be washed all over one time. You're not bathed all the time. Jesus said it here. He was talking about being saved. You're saved, you're washed, you're clean by the blood of Christ, the water of the Word, you are washed. But there's also a need for daily cleansing, and that's the foot washing part. That's what that's about. I need it this morning, I'll need it at noon, I'll need it tonight. You see, we are saved, but in order to have full fellowship with the Lord, we need to be, our feet needs to be washed. In other words, that's the whole point of that. And of course, over there in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, there's the need for cleansing. Three reasons why we need to wash dirty feet. Number one, because Jesus did it. Number two, because dirty feet need washing. And number three, because we're blessed when we do it. How did Jesus wash the feet? He saw the need and was moved to meet it. He didn't wait for an invitation. He took the initiative. He took off his uniform of greatness and got down on his knees, humbled himself, and washed the dirty feet of the disciples. And he didn't wait around for a thank you. Probably didn't even get one. He didn't do it for that reason. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful story written down in your word. And Lord, I realize that most of the folks who are here today already do this washing of feet. They really do. And we're grateful for that. And I pray, Father, that you will help all of us, that we will continue to do that, that we'll do it for the right reason, with the right motive, and therefore get the result and reward. Dear Lord, forgive us of our sins. Help us as we seek to serve you. Help us to realize that the servant is greater. And we need to serve in your name. We pray, Lord, that you would lead us during this invitation time, and may your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.